So we got the final of the World Baseball Classic tonight. Again, I think in terms of a baseball purist, and especially if you're Rob Manfred and you're looking for what is the best case scenario, international baseball, domestic baseball, it's USA versus Japan. Two biggest baseball markets in the world in terms of the amount of people, in terms of the amount of players. And the idea that Ohtani's facing Trout in a meaningful game, the first time they've played a meaningful game on American soil, and naturally not going to be in an Angels uniform, I think says a lot about their history. But it's going to be fun tonight. I'll admit, I was not a big fan earlier. I just wasn't interested. It wasn't that I was against it. But as the tournament has gone on, it's captivated my interest. And to chat about it, we're joined now by former MLB-er, host of Baseball is Dead podcast. He's out on NBC in the Bay Area as well. Here's Dallas Braden back on Overdrive. How you doing, Dallas?
I'm doing well, boys. How you doing?
Doing well, man. We're gearing up for a night tonight. And I'm curious, you know, how you're a baseball fan through and through. Have you been pot committed to the World Baseball Classic from pitch one? Or has it been a buildup for you? And what's your overall experience been like so far?
Well, I've been locked in since pitch one of yesteryear. I mean, the first time they rolled this thing out, the idea, and you touched on it, the idea of international baseball. You know, we've got a lot of casual soccer fans, footy fans, if you will, here in the States. Me, hand up, I've been a lifelong soccer fan since last year. And anytime the World Cup rolls through, you get pumped up about it, right? Why? Well, yep. It's red, white, and blue. It's America. And I couldn't tell you the names of the positions on the field. I don't know who's playing. I don't care. But I will go to bat for you and die for you if you're an American soccer fan, right along with you. You know, if you let me, just because that's what we're doing here. That's what's going on. So now it's baseball. And baseball is my sport. Baseball is our sport, if you will. So now we're talking about international competition, the world stage, and it's my sport. I do know some of these positions. I do know a couple of these guys. I could talk to you a little bit about what's going on. So now I am all in. You want to talk about pot committed, bud? Shipping a chair is all I ever needed when it came to the WBC. All in blind. Believe it.
Well, and again, the States against Japan, man. I think U.S. against Mexico would have been incredibly cool, too. But that was an unbelievable game last night. And, of course, it's Ohtani that's driving it. You know, in the ninth inning, he gets the rally started. And then after the game, because he's a unicorn, Ken Rosenthal asking him, are you willing to pitch? Like, are you prepared to pitch tomorrow night? Oh. And, he, of course, he's like, yeah, I'm coming in. He's coming in relief tonight. And we've been talking about this all day. Is there a pitcher versus batter matchup that you want to see more than Ohtani versus Trout?
No.
It's immediately no, right? It has to be that.
This is what we were talking about on our podcast, Baseball is Dead. Download, subscribe. This is what we were talking about when we first started talking about the WBC is, could you imagine if we get to the final stage and it's Trout, Ohtani? Maybe Ohtani on the bump because there were question marks. Could this dude take the ball again in the WBC? I don't know. It might have just been a 1-2-time deal, and that's it, kind of getting ready for the regular season. Well, Ohtani said last night, I will be prepared. I will be well prepared to pitch. And what he really meant was, I will be prepared to die on the baseball field wearing Japan across my chest. And if I got to do it against Mike Trout, my teammate, so be it. That's how, I mean, you could see last night in the dugout, there was a shot of him when they go up when they fall behind, and Ohtani's just like, no, okay, that's fine. Now I got to strap it on. It's go time. So there was not a more anticipated hookup than Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, game on the line. We're talking about the greatest baseball talent the game has ever seen in Shohei Ohtani with one of the greatest players the game has ever seen, will ever see in Mike Trout on the same team stateside, but now it's country versus country, your best, my best. It doesn't get any better than this. If you were to sell baseball to a group of gray men that just came out of the sky on their spaceship, this is the ticket I'm selling them.
Dallas, I'm curious how you feel about Mike Trout's career. Like, it's been fun to see him in these kinds of games. I'm looking at his postseason career. He's played 3 games. Like, how do you think of his career? Like, he has been the best player for, I don't know, more than 10 years, and yet we have no playoffs with him.
Well, it's tough. You know, there's a guy in the NFL by the name of Dan Marino, right?
Yeah.
Herald passer, just incredible record setter in his day. Doesn't have the big one under his belt. and I don't think that takes away from who he is as a player or where he's at in the pantheon of quarterbacks in the NFL, but that's kind of one of the leading conversation points with Dan Marino is that, oh, well, he didn't win the big one. Well, still a pretty good QB. Mike Trout, he's been better than half the dead guys in the Hall of Fame, for, like you said, for the last decade already. So it's tough because you know how good he is. You don't want that talent to be squandered when it comes to, you know, America's pastime and the World Series and the playoffs and sort of how the legends grow and are created here in America. That's what the playoffs and the postseason and the World Series are all about. And that hasn't happened. So it's almost like everybody has to watch Mike Trout during the regular season and appreciate the homers in June when they don't matter because they're not going to matter in October because we don't see him in October. Well, that's all going away because you're getting what that October vibe is like right now in March.
With Dallas Braden, former MLBer, host of the Baseball's Dead podcast, World Baseball Classic Final tonight, Japan against the U.S. And Ohtani, once he gets through this, gets back into spring training, gets back into the season, this guy's inching closer to free agency. And I think it'd be great for baseball. It'd be awful for the Angels, but great for baseball if that guy actually got to the winter meetings next year as a free agent. If that happens, what kind of scratch do you think we're talking? And, you know, how many teams could possibly be involved because this guy's going to want more money than possibly anyone's ever been given?
Well, let's start with he deserves more money than anybody's ever been given. Mm-hmm. We can start there. And I'll say this. 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I was laughed at when I talked about guys earning $40 million a year in short bursts, teams capitalizing on the front end of contracts, and being willing to go big money, big time, because they were going to be able to wiggle around some of the nuance of what they're allowed to spend, right? Labor tax, things like that. And here we are. We've got arms and hitters making $35, $40 million a year. So when you're talking about what Ohtani does, the idea of his contract and what it could look like is going to be a case study in economics classes in the Ivy League institutions all across this country. Because how do you prepare, how do you account for a guy who is worth 250 mil on both sides of the ball? How do you do that? We don't know. And it's going to be really fun to watch how these teams try to do it. Could you imagine taking Shohei Ohtani into an arbitration hearing where we have to tell you how bad you are, how big of a detriment you are to our team? Imagine what that conversation would be like. So now here we are talking about, do we sign this guy up for the next 10 years? Do we sign him up for the next 15 years? Is there any way that we can get him to guarantee like DNA and lineage? And is there, how do we lock this guy up for life? And there's going to be a lot of, well, if he only hits for X amount of years, this is where the money goes. If he's only able to pitch, then this is how the money gets doled out. And there's going to be benchmarks, like I said, that have to be hit. There's going to be activations in place that allow him to make X amount of dollars, but it is going to be easily, in my opinion, the most lucrative contract in North American sports history.
Well, what do you think, like, if it gets to a point where he's, I don't know, 33, and you had to pick, he can only be a hitter or he can only be a pitcher, how do you pick?
I mean, the only reason I'm going to say that is so tough is we're talking about a guy who has shown the ability to be elite. We're talking top three.
Yeah.
At both of those. And so think about Justin Verlander. How old is that fella? 39, 40 mm-hmm. years old?
Mm-hmm.
That can Tommy John. And if you didn't have an age next to Justin Verlander and you were just looking at his pitch metrics, you know, the anatomy of his stuff, spin rate, I mean, just velocity, all of these things tell you that it's as good as it's ever been almost. And that's at 39, 40 on the tail end of a second Tommy John. So it really is all about the snowflake, meaning the individual, because no two are alike. And so if it's about Ohtani's ability to continue to drive and run and be a power threat, but the split is no longer what it is because the fastball is no longer what it is, but it's still viable, who knows? Could we see him start to carve out a niche in the bullpen where he's only coming out for two innings at a time but still serving as the everyday DH? Does he hop over at first base? I have no idea, but these are things that you have to have the conversation about because this is a one-of-one unicorn.
Yeah, And you're right. I mean, this guy could still be doing this for another decade. Like, if he's still rocking at this, even if he gives you 5 years, like, his profile, I saw it today. I think he just started up Instagram. He's already got 4 million followers. It's more than anyone else in baseball. No one's close.
Yes.
Like, nobody's
no
even close. He's the
not
man.
Close. Randy Arozarena. I mean, the WBC has been incredible for the game of baseball, for individuals in baseball. Randy Arozarena has almost doubled or tripled his Instagram following just because of his, I mean, how about that catch, right? Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that ball back, just sort of teasing everybody, pose up, cross the arms, and he's just out there making friends in between innings, pitching changes. Yes, I'll sign your ball, I'll sign your baby, throw the kid over the fence, I'll catch it. Like, he's doing it all. But, I mean, it has been such a wonderful event for the game of baseball. And I do want to say this. Kudos and hats off to the countries who have baseball leading their sport charge, leading their international stage. They and their passion for the game are what I tell the stories about when I'm trying to attract folks to the international game of baseball. I constantly talk about winter ball and have been forever because this is a passion and a love for this game that we just don't see and we don't experience. You know, I heard somebody say it's baseball with spices as opposed to just being served two scoops of vanilla on your regular cone.
Well, how about that cat on Japan last night hitting 100 on the clock? Like, what was it?
Sasaki, this guy, I mean, think about this, all right? We're talking about Ohtani and what this guy's capable of. You got Sasaki blowing 102, 20-plus fastballs, all of them logging 100-plus miles an hour, okay? I know you guys remember Kerry Wood, the 20-strikeout game.
Oh, yeah.
Bill James had a statistic, the game score, right? You could rate the games. And 105 was the game score for Kerry Wood's 20-strikeout game, one-hit, 20-punch-out game. 105 was the game score. The highest rated game ever in the history of baseball. Well, Sasaki threw a perfect game with 19 punch-outs. That game, 106 game score. The highest graded game ever played, ever produced by an individual. And then he backed it up with 8 more perfect innings. Dude had 17 perfect innings at one point in time. Set a record, struck out 13 dudes in a row. That's the kind of animal that Mexico was dealing with last night.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was
and
wild.
The gap between the talent in the Nippon League and Major League Baseball is no longer as great as it was. Guys are coming over and not only coming over and surviving, but they're having success and being instant impact kind of guys. And there's a list of guys that are getting ready to make more noise.
There's no question about that. And again, tonight there'll be another chapter written, and people are looking forward to it, ourselves included. Obviously, you are as well. He is Dallas Braden, former MLB or host of the Baseball is Dead podcast. And we always appreciate you finding time for us, Dallas. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking of us. USA, let's go, boys!
Good luck tonight. There he is, Dallas Braden. Yeah, Sasaki, man. He was, like, watching it live, because watching it on TV, it doesn't do justice. You can't tell the difference between 97 on the gun and 100 on the gun, but you trust the technology that is legitimately what he's putting up, and every pitch was 100, 101, 102, 100, 101, 102. He finally hit like 97 or something, which was a changeup. Basically, you throw 97 after you've been throwing 101, 102, that's a changeup.
I didn't realize how young he is either. I think he's 21.
He'll be coming over, right? Like, people.
What's that going to cost?
People will be paying.
I think Dallas is right. It's going to be like half a bill.
For Ohtani?
Yeah. Because don't you have to pay him as both?
I think you do. Well, like he said, if it's 250 for one, 250 for the other, do the math. The thing is, him as a hitter alone
would be like three.
Is at least three, the way he can hit. Furthermore, his brand value.
Yeah,
like the idea of having Ohtani in Japan. Everything I hear about it is he is so much bigger than everything else.
Yes,
he is massive. Like when they had the Olympics there, I was talking to guys coming back. Festruck, I think, was the one that was telling me. He's like, it is Ohtani everywhere. You step off the airplane, it's Ohtani. You every commercial is Ohtani, Ohtani, Ohtani. Like, I think Matsuyama, obviously, when he won the Masters, that was big over there. Sure, there's other athletes, clearly, but Ohtani is on a different level. So you're getting that market. If he's wearing your jersey, that thing's selling like hotcakes in Japan. That's worth so much money.
Yeah.
So much money.